Hi, this is Dan Sheridan with CrossAndThrown.com, and this is number 7 in our series of Justification. I love that Eric song. I wish I could play guitar like that. Warning, what you're about to hear is something the adversary does not like, and if you have a high opinion of yourself, you won't like it either. So we hope you still stay tuned and listen in and study and search and see what we say and see if it's true. You can find us on the web at crossandthrown.com. And on our website, you can find the greatest Bible translation I think ever put out beside the original Greek and Hebrew called the Concordant Literal New Testament. And you can also get the Concordant Commentary, and you'll hear us quote from that here and there. On this radio program, this will give you more that you could ever get in the seminary if you spent a lot of years there. Trust me, I know. And you can also call us at 847-201-1060. Again, 847-201-1060. Well, I'm here again today. Still haven't gotten any sleep with our newborn baby, but I have plenty of coffee on hand. And again, I got to take a sip before we get going here. Nothing like it. We are Romans chapter 1, starting in verse 13, and I know you're probably thinking, when are you going to get to justification? Well, friends, you can't just start a subject in the middle of it, you have to lead up to it. That's why God gave us the letter to the Romans. So here we are in Romans chapter 1, verse 13, Paul says, "Now I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren." That means there's a lot of ignorant brethren. And I say that kindly, of course. And there's a number of times that Paul says, "I do not want you to be ignorant." If you're around for our series on the life and letters of Paul, we mentioned the 5 main times that Paul says, "I do not want you to be ignorant." And you'll find that every time Paul says, "I do not want you to be ignorant," you'll find that that's probably something that people in Christendom are ignorant of. And, well, I think I'm going to have to go over those again because it's worth repeating. Paul, first of all, says, "I do not want you to be ignorant." And in this verse, it's in reference to his apostleship. Paul was an apostle of a different order. He was not one of the 12. And when we confuse Paul's apostleship with that of the 12 apostles, or if we think that Paul is the 13th apostle, or if we think that Paul should have been the 12th apostle, we make the greatest blunder that you could ever make. And I'm going to say something here that may sound strange, but I want you to think about this. Misunderstanding Paul is the greatest error you can possibly make in your entire life. Now that, I know some of you may be thinking, what's this guy talking about? Let me repeat that. To think that Paul is one of the 12 apostles, to think that Paul should have been the 13th apostle, is one of the greatest errors you can possibly make in your Christian walk. And I think that's the error that is being made, and that's the reason why we have so many church buildings on every street corner, is because of the lack of understanding of Paul. Paul said in 2 Timothy that in his own day everyone forsook him. Well, not everyone, most, the majority. And what that meant is they forsook Paul's message, and they replaced it with a mixture of Judaism, Christianity, and pagan religions. And that is what we have today in modern Christendom. Modern Christendom is a mixture of Judaism, the New Testament, Christianity, and pagan religions. And this is why we have such confusion. And you'll find if you listen to the phraseology used today in Christendom, in Christian seminaries, and Christian radio, is that you will find a lot of pagan words, a lot of pagan phraseology, and a lot of pagan beliefs. They are baptized with the Bible. And so we need to be careful. We cannot confuse Paul with the rest of the apostles. The 12 apostles were chosen by Christ on earth in his humiliation for the 12 tribes of Israel. The 12 apostles were to sit on, in the future, in the millennium, they will sit on 12 thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel. They will administer in the kingdom. They will be have administration there. So those 12 apostles are for the 12 tribes. And Paul was chosen by Christ from glory the risen and ascended Christ chose Paul personally to go to the nations, and they were not the same message. Paul did not have the same message as Peter. As a matter of fact, in Galatians 2, Paul had to go up to Jerusalem and lay before the 12 apostles the message he preached among the nations. Read Galatians 1 and Galatians 2. As a matter of fact, if you go to our website at crossandthrone.com, I did an audio file called Not, Neither, But. Look it up on the website. Find it on the web, on our website, Not, Neither, But. Find it in there. It's one of my audio messages. And you listen to that, and it's about Paul's unique apostleship. Paul is not one of the 12. Very important, friends. And we'll get into that more later. As a matter of fact, if you sign up for our newsletter, I will send you an article on Galatians 1 that is probably the one of the most important works that I ever done. It's short and simple, but I think you need to get this. Just go to our website and sign up for our newsletter, and it'll come out in our next newsletter for you. So Paul says, I do not want you to be ignorant here. Now in Romans chapter 11, verse 25, he says it again. In Romans 11 to 25, Paul says, I do not want you to be ignorant. I'm turning there. I'm not willing for you to be ignorant of this secret, brethren, lest you may be passing for prudent among yourselves, that callousness in part on Israel has come until the complement of the nations may be entering. Israel is temporarily calloused. That's why, you know, if you ever talk to a Jewish person, they just can't see that Christ is their Messiah. They've been temporarily calloused. Their hearts are calloused, but it's only for a limited time. There's this anti-Semitism out there today under the guise of post or amillennialism, which says that God is all through with Israel. God is not all through with Israel. God will save Israel after the flesh. God is going to save his earthly people and give them the allotment of the land in Palestine there. It belongs to them. They're going to get it. All the problems we're having in the Middle East today are not because of America or Great Britain or any other country. The problems we're having over there is because of Isaac and Ishmael. And friends, Israel's going to get that land because Christ, it was promised to them by Elohim, Yahweh Elohim in the Old Testament. And right now, Israel is temporarily on hold. Remember, we talked about Paul meaning pause. God is going out to the nations today. One day Israel will once again be the priesthood nation, bringing the true God to the rest of the nations. Right now, God is going to the nations apart from Israel. One day in the future, he will bring light to the rest of the world through that beloved nation. Because God's gifts and calling are not subject to repentance. He made a promise to them which will never be withdrawn. Then in 1 Corinthians 10, Paul says, I do not want you to be ignorant concerning some Old Testament examples. 1 Corinthians 10, I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, that all our fathers, all were under the cloud. And he gives them the lessons of the Old Testament. Yes, Paul is our apostle, and his letters are directed to us. But Paul doesn't want us to be ignorant concerning lessons of the Old Testament regarding running a race and gaining a prize. A lot of lessons in the Old Testament are for us who are believers who are running the course today. And there are pitfalls in the way to our path. And the Old Testament gives us many lessons, especially Israel in the wilderness. Then in chapter 12, verse 1, we read this. Now concerning spiritual endowments, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant. We're living in a day where I think there's great ignorance concerning the spiritual gifts and tongues and all these other things. And I think when you read 1 Corinthians 12, 13, and 14. Now, friends, I'm going to say this because I feel I have to be faithful to the truth. Tongues are not in existence today, and today what is passing for tongues is not biblical tongues. Tongues were languages. But Paul says, when that which is perfect has come in the King James, then that which is in part shall be done away. We have the completed scriptures, friends. There is no more direct revelation that anyone gets today. And I think it's a sad thing when people think they're getting direct revelation from God. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, we read this. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, Paul says, now we do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who are reposing or sleeping, the King James says, lest you may sorrow according as the rest also who have no expectation. And that passage there is concerning the state of the dead. And Paul doesn't, in the Thessalonian church, there were many people who were dying for either old age or faith. They were put to death for their faith in Christ. And Paul says, don't worry about them, friends, because they're going to be roused from the dead. Resurrection day is coming. And there was great ignorance, as there is today, regarding where are the dead. And friends, the dead are not alive. The dead are dead until resurrection. This is the great teaching of Christianity, friends. I cannot stress this enough. What makes this great is that we have a Savior who has conquered death. The Lord Jesus Christ died for our sins. He was entombed. He was roused again the third day according to the scriptures, and it's through him there is resurrection. Man is not immortal. Only God has immortality, and he gives immortality. He gives life beyond the power of death, only in resurrection mankind. And so this is important, friends. So these are the five times Paul says, I do not want you to be ignorant. I thought it was necessary to repeat those. And I go into a little more detail on our series, The Life and Letters of Paul. So I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, that often I purposed to come to you. We often planned to come to them and was prevented hitherto that I should be having some fruit among you also, according as among the rest of the nations. Paul was hindered from coming there. He was hindered. Why? Because he wanted to have fruit. And one thing the adversary doesn't like when we bear fruit. He wasn't just looking for fruit of converts. He wasn't just looking to convert people, though he wanted to do that, but he also wanted to have fruit from the believers themselves. In Romans 6:21, there's fruit unto God. In 6:21 and 22, and chapter 7, verse 4 and 5, there's fruit of the believer who reckons himself dead to sin and alive unto God. And there's also the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians 5. There's the fruit of light in Ephesians and other things. Well, we thank you for joining us today. If you have any questions, go to crossandthrone.com. You can email us there or call us at 847-201-1060. Or you can also join our newsletter at our website at crossandthrone.com. Please join our newsletter, and we'll send you out some of that information along with that article on Galatians 1. We have many audios on our site. And we also have the greatest Bible translation ever, the Concordant Literal New Testament with the commentary. Go there and get that and study the scriptures for yourselves. I got to run, and I got one last thing to tell you. Believe God no matter what the clergy tell you. Have a great day, friends. Talk to you soon.